Okay.
Go ahead, Mataji.
Me?
Yes, Mataji, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 24 and text number 33 and onwards. Is Prabhuji, are you there on a call?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, thank you, Prabhuji, very much. Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much, dear devotees. I hope that my voice is clear and that each and every one of you can hear me nicely.
Yes, we can hear
you. Thank you so much, dear devotees. Thank you, Mataji, for kindly inviting me today to speak something upon Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And all of you can hear me, but you may not be able to see me because here in India, there it is, the internet connection is not so good during the rain. So I am just directly connected on a phone call. But I think with whatever capabilities I have for speaking, I will try my best to glorify Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. First and foremost, I would like to begin with Mangala Charan. Most of us know these verses. So you can sing along with me. Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnum Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namah हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी प्रशभानुसुते देवी प्रणवामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Thank you dear devotees for kindly inviting me once again. Today we are continuing Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today here in India, it's 9th of July 2019. We are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse number 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सखा गणेरतिह अनुरापर्यन्त पितृमातृस्नेह आदि अनुराग अन्त synonym सखा गणेर of the friends prati the attraction haya become anurag paryanta up to sub ecstatic love pitra matra sneha parental love adi and so on anurag anta up to the end of sub ecstatic love translation by his divine grace अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। डिवोटीज इन वृंदावन हु आर फ्रेंड्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड कैन इंक्रीज देयर एक्सटैटिक लव अप टू द पॉइंट ऑफ अनुराग। पेरेंटल अफेक्शन लवर कृष्णा फादर एंड मदर कैन इंक्रीज देयर लव ऑफ गॉडहेड up to the end of anurag. So this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita is describing the stage of prema which is attained by two categories of devotees, those devotees who are experiencing sakhyaras and those devotees who are experiencing vatsalyaras. We'll move ahead to verse number 34. Kanta ganir rati pai mahabhava sima bhakti shabdir esava arthair mahima. Translation. The gopis of Vrindavan who are attached to Krishna in conjugal love can increase their ecstatic love up to the point of Mahabhava, the greatest ecstatic love. These are some of the glorious meanings of the word bhakti. Hare Krishna. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Srila Sanatana Goswami the various meanings of the Atma Ram verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Previously, in the 23rd chapter of the Madhya Leela, and currently we are on chapter number 24, but previously at the end of the 23rd chapter of the Madhya Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had spontaneously given a benediction to Srila Sanatana Goswami. What is the exact benediction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sri Sanatana Goswami? That is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Srila Sanatana Goswami that all these instructions which I have given to you, may all these instructions become spontaneously manifest within your heart. May all the conclusions of the Shastra become spontaneously manifest within your heart. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Vara Dila, Ei Sabar Kuru Katamare, that he gave a Vara, a spontaneous benediction. Ei Sabar, all these conclusions, Kuru Katamare, may all the conclusions of this pure Uttama Bhakti, pure devotional service, Spuruka. Spura means spontaneously rise. Tomare, within your heart. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had kept his own hands on the head of Sri Sanatana Goswami and had given him this blessing. Still, Sanatana Goswami is not going to immediately walk away from there and say, all right, I got my benediction. Now I no longer need Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's assistance. Still, Sanatan Goswami petitioned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you explained this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Atma Ramah Chamunaya Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Purvanti Ahaitukim Bhaktim Itham Bhuta Gunamhari. Now, this particular verse occurs in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, and the exact verse number is 10. So, Atma Ramascha Munaya, what is this verse speaking about? The sages in Naimisharanya were surprised that how come an impersonalist like Shukadeva Goswami suddenly became interested in devotion or bhakti towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In reply to that, Suta Goswami in Naimisharanya had spoken this verse. Not only Shukadeva Goswami, but Atmaramascha Munayah. Atmaramascha Munayah means, Atmaram means a person who is self-satisfied, who is happy within his own self. That person is known as Atmaram. So, Atmaram, such a person, they may be Muni. They may be many stages like that. They may be Nirgrantha. Nirgrantha means, Granthi refers to not within the heart. So, Grantha refers to that not within the heart. And Nirgrantha means, Nirgata Grantha Yasmat, from whom all the knots of the heart have been completely removed or completely destroyed. They are Nirgrantha. Such sages, liberated sages who are impersonalists, they are being described. So, dear devotees, these impersonalist sages are also Atmaram. Atmaram, self-satisfied. They are munis. They are great sages. Nirgrantha. All the knots within their heart of attachment are completely destroyed. Api, still, what do they do? Purukrame kurvanti ahaitukim bhakti. They render ahaituki, causeless bhakti, devotional service to Purukrame, to Lord Krishna. Specific name used for Lord Krishna is Purukram. Purukram is the name of Lord Vamandev, who performed the great act of covering the entire universe through only two steps. How can such liberated souls be attracted to Lord Hari and his narration? The reply is given, Ittham Bhuta Guno Hari. Ittham Bhuta means, such are guna, qualities of Hari. Such are the qualities of Lord Hari that even the impersonalists, those who are Atmaram, will be spontaneously attracted to the descriptions of Lord Shri Hari or Lord Shri Krishna. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started explaining the various terms of this particular verse to Sri Sanatan Goswami. Now, while explaining the various terms, there came the term bhakti. Because the verse is Kurvanti Ahaitukim Bhaktim. So first he was explaining the term Kurvanti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted a grammar sutra from Panini. Now this grammar sutra was quoted in our current chapter, chapter number 24 of Madhya Lila. And it was quoted in verse number 26. So in the 26th verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted a grammar rule. So the 26th verse is, Paritanyata kartravi praye kriyaphale. This is Panini Sutra. So, he is speaking about the term kurvanti, they perform. And technically, in the Sanskrit language, all the verbs, all the verbal roots, they are of two categories. Parasmai Pad and Atmane Pad. Parasmai Pad means when a particular verb is used to denote an action which is done for someone else besides the person who is performing the action. For example, if I say Devadattah Katam Karoti, Devadatta is creating a mat. So if he is creating a mat, but Karoti is Parasmai Pad, so that creating is for someone else. And if I say Devadattah Katam Kurute, the meaning is the same, basic meaning is the same, but I have used another form of the same verb. So Karoti and Kurute, one of them is Parasmai Pad Karoti and Kurute is Atmane Pad. So Devadatta creates a mat for someone else, Karoti, and Devadatta creates a mat for his own personal use, Kurute. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in this verse, Atma Ramasya Munaya Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvanti. Kurvanti is Parasmai Pad. Parasmai Pad means this term has been used to denote something which is for done for something else. Short and sweet, this bhakti is being done not for his own self. This bhakti is being done for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. This is the meaning of saying that this term, Kurvanti, is Parasmai Pad. That its fruit, the fruit of bhakti, will be enjoyed by somebody else besides the person who is performing bhakti. The person who is performing bhakti is not at all worried about any fruit. The person who is performing bhakti is happy simply in the activity. He doesn't have anything to do with the fruit. A fruit may come, a fruit may not come. But the joy for such a person is in executing the activity. The Kurvanti, Ahaitukim, causeless bhakti, devotion. So this is, they are executing bhakti, devotional service, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now focusing on the term bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says bhakti is of two types, basically. One is sadhana bhakti and one is prema bhakti. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's basic intention of saying was, that bhakti is sadhana bhakti, which is according to regulative principles, or that bhakti in which one engages one's senses according to the rules of the scriptures, that is sadhana bhakti. And second is sadhya bhakti or prema bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in prema bhakti there are 9 types. Now, what are the 9 types of prema bhakti? Basically, we have to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing the term bhakti in the Atmaram verse. And saying bhakti is of two main categories. Bhakti as the means and bhakti as the end. Bhakti as the means is known as sadhana bhakti. And bhakti as the end, what result the devotee achieves is prema bhakti. So, prema is the result attained by the devotee when the devotee executes sadhana. And this prema bhakti is of 9 varieties. And these 9 varieties are explained by the previous acharyas, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur says in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, prema bhakti nava prakar. Prema bhakti is of 9 types. And then he gives the name Rati, Prem, स्नेह मान प्रणय राग अनुराग भाव महाभाव these are the 9 types he says a nav prakar these are the 9 types of bhakti which are executed or which are known as prema bhakti so once prema bhakti has been defined we should know what is the exact meaning of these 9 types of bhakti because these are very lofty terms which have been suddenly placed in front of us and sometimes in Sanskrit also translation of these terms becomes extremely difficult so prati prem sneh man pranay rag anurag bhav mahabhav these are the 9 types of prema that have been explained here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita so one thing we have to understand that all these feelings of love are experienced only by those devotees who have attained pure bhakti or pure devotional service unto Lord Shri Krishna so first and foremost let's understand what is the meaning of the term prema because before we study the 9 categories of prema we should understand what is the meaning of prema what is prema so Srila Rupa Goswami has described prema in the bhakti rasamrita sindhu Srila Rupa Goswami says in bhakti rasamrita sindhu that is the fourth wave of the eastern division purva vibhag he says samyak masranita pranto mamatva atishayankita bhavah sa eva sandratma budhai prema nigadyate he says samyak masranita pranto when the heart of the devotee is completely melted due to affection for krishna And this heart has become so soft. Atishayankitah. It is deeply marked with symbols of mamatva. Just like anything which is soft, you can easily imprint anything upon it. Similarly, the heart of the devotee has become so soft because of the warmth of love that it has almost melted. And there are symbols imprinted upon it. These symbols are mamatva. Mamatva means this deep feeling of I and mine towards Lord Shri Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, Bhavahasta eva sandratma budhahi prema anigatite. When bhava reaches its pinnacle, at that time the intelligent souls, the learned souls call it prema. This is the first stage or the beginning stage of ecstatic love of Godhead. Then after prema comes the next stage which is known as which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Rati. Now what is Rati? Rati is the first type of prema and in this rati this refers to the deep seated attraction which occurs for Lord Shri Krishna sometimes prema and rati are said to be synonyms but rati is like the very first stage of prema Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said here in the comment first very first stage and in rati the first symptoms of prema are manifest then comes sneha Sneha is when prema becomes even more deeper and there is always a desire that one wants to constantly have darshan or one wants to constantly see the Lord. That is known as sneha. Sneha is categorized into two types. One is called Ghrita Sneha and another is called Madhu Sneha. Ghrita Sneha means technically or literal translation is Ghee Sneha and Madhu Sneha means Honey Sneha. So, Sneha which is as tender as Ghee is called as Ghrita Sneha. And this Ghrita Sneha, the devotee feels, I am belonging to you, O dear Lord Krishna. And in Madhu Sneha, the feeling is, you belong to me, O dear Lord Krishna. So I belong to you is Ghrita Sneha. You belong to me is Madhu Sneha. After Sneha, when Prema deepens even further, then comes Maan. Now this Maan is the first symbol of some indignation or jealousy in the devotee. And devotee sometimes out of love or out of jealousy even complains to the Lord. That Sneha is called, that particular variety of developed Sneha is called as Maan. After Maan comes the next stage, which is technically known as Pranay. So Pranay, in this particular stage, one completely forgets oneself and one forgets that there is any distinction between one's own mood and the mood of Krishna, and one feels complete oneness in mood with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when this pranay also becomes even more deeper, it becomes rag. Rag is deep-seated attachment for the Lord. Even death cannot take away this particular feeling within the heart of the devotee. I mean, rag is constantly present within the heart of the devotee, it becomes anurag. And this anurag is the stage of prema which is being spoken of about in this particular verse that we started off with today. So let's come back to that particular verse, verse number 33. Where it is said that Sakha Ganer Rati Haya Anurag Patyanta. Those who are friends of Krishna, their attraction towards Krishna goes to the stage of Anurag. It doesn't go beyond Anurag. Pitra Matra Sneha Adi Anurag. And the parents, those who are experiencing parental affection, their love goes till the very end of the stage of Anurag. So the Sakhas or the friends touch the entrance of Anurag, and the parents, they go all the way up till the end of Anurag. That is what Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has specified here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now for all of us, this is all very lofty because we are still, at least I am, struggling on the stage of Anartha Nivritti. Now somebody who is struggling on the stage of Anartha Nivritti, how can a person speak about something like Anurag, Pranay, Maan, Bhav, Mahabhav, so on and so forth? Question is, do we have the adhikar to discuss these particular things? this question is not a new question. This question has been asked ever since devotees started discussing Harikatha. Because all devotees, they feel ever unqualified for speaking these topics of Krishna Katha. But if everybody remains ever unqualified, then who will speak this topic? And then these topics will only remain in the museum, and only those who are studying PhD, somebody who has nothing to do with bhakti, just wants to do a PhD on Rupa Goswami, they will come and open the books and they will say, Hindu philosopher Rupa Goswami wrote a book on devotion to the Hindu deity Krishna. And in that book, he has described the various sentimental stages of love, such as Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav, etc. So, do we want all this ecstatic subject matter to fall into the hands of these trash scholars? Or did Srila Rupa Goswami write all these topics for devotees who are initiated within his sampradaya? If we deeply and honestly introspect within our heart, we will come to the conclusion that actually Srila Rupa Goswami wrote all these things for us. And he wrote these things for us so that we could relish them. And we should all study these particular things so that at least theoretically we know what is the roadmap, on which road we have to traverse, and where do we have to reach ultimately. Because if we don't have the roadmap, where will we reach? And therefore, devotee poets in the past, although they have felt utterly unqualified, but still, they have always attempted to study and describe this Ittham Bhuta Gunohari, these wonderful qualities, pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, and these wonderful qualities of Siddhi. I have always frequently spoken about one devotee poet from Maharashtra. His name is Sri Hari Suri. Srila Prabhupada named a disciple after him. And Sri Hari Suri wrote a commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this 10th canto commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Hari Suri first expressed his complete inability to describe all these wonderful qualities, Ittham Bhuta Guna, of Lord Hari. Hari Suri said, Devat-vad-guna-varnane kilasaha strasyopineshodrisham tvat-saundarya-vivechane-pichasaha strakshakshanam-nakshama srivayamna-sahasra-bahu-viralam yukto-pishakto-arjuna tatraham-jagadishvaraika-vadano vyakshodvibahu-kiyan. This is Deva, O Lord Krishna, Tvad Guna Varnane. If people start describing your qualities, your spiritual qualities, Kila Sahastrasyaopi Na Isho Brisham, even the thousand-hooded Ananta Shesh will become utterly incapable. Ananta Shesh has thousand hoods. And with each hood, if he tries to describe your spiritual qualities, he will find himself to be utterly incapable. He says, Tvat Saundarya Vivechane. And if somebody thinks, I will see your beauty with the eyes, Sahasraksha, even Indra, who has a thousand eyes upon his body, ne. Shanam na kshama. For a moment also he will not be capable. Even Indra with his thousand eyes cannot sufficiently relish the beauty of your form. Sevayam, he says, somebody thinks I will render service to you. He says, Na sahasra bahu viralam. Even that thousand-handed sahasra Arjun, Karta Virya Arjun, who is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, who had 1,000 hands, who was killed by Lord Parshuram. Even Sahasrabahu Kartavirya Arjun, if he tries to render service to you with his 1,000 hands simultaneously, that person will not be able to render service to you. Harishri says, Tattraham Jagadishwara. So, dear Lord, who am I? Ekavadano. I only have one face. Dviyaksho, I only have two eyes, Dvibahu, and I only have two hands. If Ananta with his 1,000 heads cannot glorify you sufficiently, if Indra with his 1,000 eyes cannot see your beauty completely, if Sahasrarjun with his 1,000 hands cannot serve you sufficiently, then dear Lord, tell me who am I with one head, two hands and two eyes. But still, today, I will try to speak something. Still, we should try to glorify. Why? He says, Harishuri says that there is a reason why I will glorify you today. What is the reason? You yourself said that you are disqualified. Yes, dear Lord, I said with my own mouth, I am disqualified. So if you yourself declared yourself to be disqualified, how can you say that you will glorify me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because, dear Lord, disqualification is my only qualification. Disqualification is the only qualification that I have. Now you have no answer to give in front of me. He says, Kinchit vakrama vakramuddhatamatha nigdham sahasam pache. Sakrodha sphutam asphutam kvachidupala lambhi kvacharthanvai eyam siya shishorva chopi parama ladaya pitroriti jyatvasam pratihishvatat sarane istadring mayalam vyate. He says, kinchid vakram avakram. Oh dear Lord, don't you know this fact? You are the father and mother of this entire universe. You are my parents. Vameva mata chapita. You are my father, you are my mother. And I am a very small child, shishu. And you know, kinchid vakram avakram. Sometimes I speak some crooked words. Like a small child speaks some crooked words, cannot speak correctly. Avakram, sometimes I speak correctly. Uddhatam, sometimes I speak very boldly. Sometimes the child directly orders his parents, Oh daddy, please bring me this thing. Uddhatam, athaspigdham. Sometimes he speaks very soft words. Oh dear parents, please get me this thing. Sahasam, sometimes the child speaks while laughing. So his voice breaks because he is simultaneously laughing and speaking. He says, Sakrodham, sometimes the child speaks something angrily to the parents. Why did you not get me? I wanted this toy. Why did you not get me? I don't like it. Sphutam asphutam. Sometimes he speaks broken words, sometimes he speaks clear words. Kvachit upalambhi. Sometimes he complains, I have this problem, I have that problem in my life. Kvacha arthanvai, and sometimes he speaks very clearly, like an adult. But he says, evam sviya shishor vachopi. Such words, all such variations of the words of one's child. Param ahladaya pitror. They give supreme joy to both parents. Jatva samprati vishvatat sarani tadrim maya lambyate. I know this fact, dear Lord, that you are my father and you are my mother. And I am your completely unqualified child who cannot even speak your pastimes correctly. But still, like a child, he speaks incorrectly. Like a child, I speak sometimes correctly. Like a child, I complain. Like a child, I cry, I shout. But I know all of my ramblings will be for your immense pleasure, my dear Lord. Because at the end of the day, I am your child. And any disqualification is ultimately my qualification. So in this way, he starts glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. So dear devotees, we should also read these various descriptions of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because when we read these descriptions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we understand what is Ittham Bhuta Guno Hari. What are these exact qualities of the Supreme Personality of God? And once we understand what are these qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become spontaneously attracted to these qualities. Very natural and spontaneous. And what to speak of ordinary personalities, somebody like myself, even those who are Atma Ram, those who are completely liberated, these people also, they become fully attached. There is a very famous incident of an impersonalist named Sri Madhusudan Saraswati. This incident was quoted by my Guru Maharaj, Sri Srimad Radha Govindas Goswami Maharaj. He, in one of his kathas, he spoke this pastime of Sri Madhusudan Saraswati. Sri Madhusudan Saraswati is perhaps the greatest impersonalist who ever lived on the surface of this planet. He is like a second Shankaracharya. So, Madhusudan Saraswati was born in Bengal, the same land as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Madhusudan Saraswati, in his childhood, grew up in Bengal, and very soon he became naturally detached from material life and came to Varanasi, that is Kashi. Now in Kashi, Madhusudan Saraswati heard about a personality named Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was immediately attracted by hearing the description of this personality. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing ecstatically, crying in love of Krishna. When will that day come when I will be able to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So he inquired where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying. And they told him Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays in Navadvip. So he left Kashi in order to come and meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But by the time he reached Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already departed for Jagannath Puri. So unfortunately, he could not meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face. However, on returning back to Kashi, he had this deep desire for exploring this path of bhakti, because he always thought that the impersonal understanding that Jiva is non-different from Brahman, completely non-different from Brahman, is the ultimate understanding of spiritual life. But for somebody to experience bhakti, this oneness cannot be there. Why? Because if there is oneness, there will be no lover and beloved. Bhakti or love can only be experienced, ras can only be experienced when there is a flow of emotion. The very term ras means liquid. Literal meaning is Rasyate iti rasna. That which flows is ras. Now, if something flows, it means it has to have a source and a destination. Something cannot flow from the source to the source. The source cannot be the destination if there has to be a flow. In order to have a flow, there should be a source and a destination, and these two should be distinct from each other. Therefore, Madhusudan Saraswati understood that this path of bhakti means I have to give up this understanding that I am one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But since he could never meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he always was doubtful about this path. In Varanasi, it is called as Varanasi because there are 80, there are 80 ghats here. So there are 80 ghats, and it is said that Madhusudan Saraswati used to stay on 64th ghat, 64th ghat. And 64th ghat, one day, since he was so reputed, people used to call him Sarva Tantra Svatantra Mahamahopadhyay Ved Shastra Paravar Parin. They had given him so many designations. So one day, as usual, he took a bath in the river early morning. Those days there were no showers. Everybody used to take bath in the flowing waters of the Ganga, clean flowing waters of the Ganga. He took bath in the clean flowing waters of the Ganga. He came out, he wiped himself, he applied his Tripundra Tilak, which is applied by those who are impersonalists. And every day his practice was to give a lecture on the Upanishad. On one particular day, when he was bathing in the river, one avdhut, avdhut means a complete madman who has completely transcended all modes of material nature, spiritual madman, came and suddenly sat upon the gaddi, the seat of Madhusudan Saraswati. And those who were in the audience, who were waiting for Madhusudan Saraswati to come, they were completely taken aback. How can this madman who is not even wearing proper clothes come and sit on the gadi, on the chair of Mahamahopadhyay, Sarva Tantra Svatantra, Ved Shastra Sampanna, Ashtottar Shata, Vishnupad, Paramhans, Parivrajaka Charya, Madhusudan Saraswati Pad. How can this madman come and sit upon the asana? And after sitting on the asana, he immediately called out to Madhusudan Saraswati. Without any designation, he loudly called out, Madhusudan! Hey, Madhusudan! Madhusudan! Come here. Agachya, agachya. Come here. So Madhusudan Saraswati was taken aback. He had never heard anybody utter his name without designations like that, except for his parents in his childhood. He had never heard any person in Varanasi utter his name without any signs of it. But still, Madhusudan Saraswati did not say anything and came near that avdhut. And avdhut asked him, Madhusudan, I will ask you two questions and give me an honest answer. Madhusudan, tell me. Do you feel ever disheartened when you cannot find a proper argument for defeating your opponent? Madhusudan Saraswati said, honestly speaking, yes, I do feel disheartened when I cannot find a proper argument to answer my opponent. And Madhusudan Saraswati, tell me another thing. Do you feel joyous when you find a nice argument to answer your opponent? Madhusudan Saraswati said, yes, I do feel ecstatic when I find the suitable Arjuna. He said, Madhusudan, you can never attain bhakti like this. If you want to attain bhakti, give up all these desires for vad, vivad, argument and counter-argument on Vedanta. Accept bhakti simply on the basis of Shraddha, pure faith. Go and take bath in the Ganga again. Come back, I will give you Krishna mantra. So Madhusudan Saraswati went, took bath in the Ganga, came back, and this person spoke a mantra of Lord Krishna in his ears. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Madhusudan Saraswati said, yes, I have heard the mantra. The Avadhoot asked, did you realize the mantra? He said, not yet, I have to practice. He said, go again, take a bath, come back. Madhusudan Saraswati went a second time, came back. He spoke the mantra again. He said, did you realize the mantra? He said, no, I could not. He said, go again, take a bath and come back. All right. So he went again, took a bath and came back. In these three baths of Madhusudan Saraswati, his tendency for karma, his tendency for jnana, and his tendency for ashtanga yoga, etc., had all been washed away. After the third bath, he came and he received the mantra. And when he chanted after this avadhuta, he immediately got a darshan of Lord Krishna within his heart. So this Madhusudan Saraswati later wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, in which he wrote, Krishnat param kimapi tattvam aham na jane. I don't know of any higher philosophical truth than Lord Shri Krishna. So this is the nature of Krishna Katha. It attracts even the greatest of the impersonalists like Shukadev Goswami, like Madhusudan Saraswati. Later, Madhusudan Saraswati wrote a book called Bhakti Rasayanam. And although his impersonalist tendencies never fully went away, but still he was deeply affected by this bhakti. Had he got the good fortune of meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would have had the opportunity to develop complete pure bhakti in that very particular life. But still, one can understand through this pastime that even the greatest of the scholars like Madhusudan Saraswati is spontaneously attracted to bhakti. So this verse, Atma Ramasya Munayah Nirgrantha Apyurukrame, is not some theoretical proposition. There are many who get attracted to Lord Shri Krishna, and there are many who render service to him, even though they are impersonalists. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, says that sadhus are of two types, impersonalist and the devotee. So Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2, also counts the impersonalist as a genuine sadhu. So we should understand that these impersonalists are genuine sadhus, and there are many even today in recent times who are spontaneously attracted to the path of the. During my Guru Maharaj's youth, there was a sannyasi in Vrindavan. His name was Swami Akhandanand Saraswati. He was an impersonalist in Varanasi, but later he became so attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam that he permanently changed his residence to Vrindavan. And Akhandanand Saraswati, although he had his impersonal understanding, but he made bhakti the main path of his life. He studied all the main books of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By that time, they were all printed with all the commentaries, and he was a really good scholar of Sanskrit, so he understood all of these books written by the Goswami. And he determined that bhakti is the highest conclusion of the human form of life. And when this bhakti increases, then it advances to these stages known as pranaya, rag, Bhav, Mahabhav. And then there will be Adhirud Mahabhav, Madanakya Mahabhav. These are all stages of madness. So dear devotees, ultimately the purpose is to go completely mad in love of Krishna. Complete madness is the end result that we want to achieve. Because in this world, those who are so-called normal people are actually abnormal. And those who are abnormal or mad in love of Krishna are actually the normal people. So with this, I would like to pause here. And I would like to say a sincere thanks to all of you for kindly and patiently listening to this narration of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And yadatra salitam kinchit vidvamsah purayantu tat yadatra saushtavam kinchit tat gurureva me nahi. Whatever mistakes I made while speaking, may the learned souls correct me. And if I spoke something nice, if you felt nice on hearing it, please remember tat gurureva, it belongs to my gurujanas. Me nahi, it does not belong to me. Thank you, dear devotees.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Om Guru Shri Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on this topic. Very.
Hare, so, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Prabhu. You know, I'm really speechless now. This verse, you know, Atma Rama verse, and it's been, we have continued for 33 verses. And, you know, somehow you recapped all those 33 verses in your session. So it was such an enlightening and such a insightful class, Prabhu. And I really like the point, you know, the way you said that these books by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad is not for the museum and not for the PhD or scholars to just read and speculate and, you know, write about those. Because, you know, I've been approaching too many speakers, I'm telling the truth, and everybody is saying this is such a high subject matter, we are utterly unqualified to speak about it. But, you know, the way you answered, it answered all the questions that, you know, even I personally have, that how can I speak on such topic where I don't have any realization on it. But thank you, Prabhu, indebted to you. Really, the way you put it up, the way you present it, the way you summarized everything. It's a wonderful class, Prabhu. So,
thank you. In that regard,
Prabhu. In this regard, Prabhu, yesterday one question came up which was not 100% satisfactorily answered. So, Prabhu, like this Mahabhava stage, we already heard in Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that this Mahabhava stage is specifically, particularly reserved for Srimati Radharani. Then why in this world, you know, being gopis being referred that the gopis were in the stage of Mahabhava. So, are there any two Mahabhava, or is the difference between those two? Can you explain that to me?
Yes, exactly. So, first and foremost, Kirtida Sundari Mataji, I am so thankful that you kindly invited me to speak something, you know, about this particular topic. And we all should glorify Krishna, and you especially should glorify Krishna, because your Guru Maharaj has given you the name Kirtida. Kirtida means Kirtim Dadati. She who bestows the glories of Lord Krishna on others is known as Kirtida. So definitely, in order to realize your own name, you have to speak the qualities and pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. Then you will truly become Kirtida. You are already doing it in so many ways. So if anybody tells you, how can you speak these things? So you can say, it is in my name, Kirtida, to bestow the Kirti, the glories of Lord Krishna, is in my very name. So why should I not make my name successful? It is my duty to make the name given by my Guru Maharaj. So thank you for asking this question about Mahabhava also. Mahabhava is primarily the basic two categorizations are Rudh Mahabhava and Adhirudh Mahabhava. Now, Rudh Mahabhava is when there is so much ecstasy, all the external vikars such as standing of hair on end, horripilations, perspiration, voice choking, tremors, you know, change of complexion, everything is present. And most of them are present. It is called as Rudh Mahabhava. And when all eight symptoms are present, all eight sattvic vikars are present, it is called as Adhirudh Mahabhava. So when less than eight ecstatic symptoms are present, it is called as Rudh Mahabhava. And Adhirudh Mahabhava is when all eight ecstatic symptoms are simultaneously present in a single person. Now, Adhirudh Mahabhava, that is when all eight symptoms are simultaneously present, that also is subcategorized into two, Modanakhya and Madanakhya. This is my Shiksha Guru, Sulabh Gaur Govind Maharaj used to explain. He said, in ISKCON, we should sometimes say this, Modanakhya and Madanakhya. So we have basic categorization is Rudh and Adhirudh. Rudh means less than eight ecstatic symptoms are present on the body. Adhirudh means all eight ecstatic symptoms are present on the body, simultaneous experience of all sorts of ecstasy. Adhirudh, there is Modan and Madan. Modan Akhya. Akhya means named. Modan and Madan. Modan Akhya means named Modan and Madan Akhya means named Madan. So Modan Akhya is basically, you know, in separation, in viraha, Srimati Radharani, she experiences all these, you know, symptoms. And, but Modanakhya, till Modanakhya, that is, you know, when madness, complete madness has not developed, till Modanakhya, these gopis can also experience. But there is one special variation which is called as Madanakhya, means complete madness. So that particular Madanakhya Mahabhava is experienced only and only by Srimati Radharani. So in Mahabhava also, there are specific divisions. One is Rudh Mahabhava, one is Adhirudh Mahabhava. This Rudh Mahabhava can be experienced by the gopis. Adhirudh also, there are two divisions. In Adhirudh, the first division, as I said, is Modanakhya. That also can be experienced by a special sakhi of Srimati Radharani. But this Madanakhya, complete madness, is experienced only and only by Srimati Radharani. So this is the exact short answer that I can give at this point of time, but in order to discuss this in detail, we will have to discuss Ujjwal Nilmani, which is at this point of time, I think, best left for some other day.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for explaining it so deeply. So this Madan Akhya Adhirudh Mahabhav is the example we can understand from Srimad Bhagavatam is the bumblebee song.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Agvaisha Shiva Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, this is Pani Sri Lakshmi Devi Dasi. As Kirtida Sundari Mataji says, wonderful, wonderful class. And two questions that I had were answered today. So one was the whole understanding of Atmarama, when he was saying that they are all those who are self-satisfied within themselves, I was trying to understand where the impersonalist realm, where their position was in this. understanding. So thank you very much for answering that. So from my understanding, you're saying, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that even the impersonalists are at a certain stage, but when they are, like Sukadeva Goswami, exposed to the Bhagavatam or Krishna Katha, they can come to the stage of understanding bhakti as the ultimate. I don't know, I may have simplified everything you said, and I might have simplified it too much. So can you one more time explain to me exactly that position of the impersonalists? Because this question comes up a lot in my circles because, you know, coming from an Advaitist background and a very orthodox family, this question always arises, you know, well, what about the impersonalists? Why are they denigrated so much in Prabhupada's scripture, in Prabhupada's purports and stuff? So how can we answer such a question as with this verse in mind? Does that question make sense? There you go. Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, are you there? Bhavanya Mataji?
Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought I had dropped off my phone. Okay.
Your question was awesome, Mataji. Okay. Lavanya Mataji, are you there? Sorry, Panishri Mataji, I think so you have to repeat all the way up.
I don't even know if I remember my question, but okay, let me try it again.
Krishna, just frame it. Mataji, just hold on. Let Prabhu join and fill the time.
Okay, okay. So if I forget something, can you just somebody ask my question for me?
No.
Okay.
You please go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to remember. If I forget something, then please let me know. Maybe he heard some of it. Let's see.
Yeah. He's saying that the call got disconnected. It's so hard when you put on this sort of wonderful question and people get disconnected.
Krishna still wants me to wait for my answer.
Prabhuji, you're on the call.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, there was some disconnection. Yeah. So, no, there was a question asked about impersonalists. This question is still, I have to answer that question.
Yes, I just wanted to make, you heard my question. Okay, that's good. Yeah, that was my question.
So, your question... Yeah, the question is, why are impersonalists denigrated so much in Prabhupada's books? If, you know, there are verses like this, Atma Ramas Chamaniyo, that is the question, right?
Yes, that's my question.
Okay. So, there are two categories of impersonalists. One is the Brahmavadi and one is the Mayavadi. Brahmavadi, he acknowledges that the Supreme Lord exists and the Supreme Lord is spiritual, but at the same time his personal choice is to merge with that Supreme Personality of God or merge with the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. Now there is another category of the impersonalist who is known as Mayavadi. Now Mayavadi is a different variation of an impersonalist because the Mayavadi thinks that actually, everything is Brahman and we living entities are Brahman who got covered by Maya. And even when personalities like Krishna and Ram, they come to this world, they are also basically covered by Maya. So, this is the understanding. They don't think that these are completely spiritual personalities. Their understanding is that ultimately these forms, Krishna, Ram, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, they are also products of Maya. Now, so what happens is, in this philosophy, Maya becomes stronger than Brahman. Therefore, this philosophy is known as Mayavad. And therefore, in the books of Srila Prabhupada, this philosophy has been denigrated, because Maya can never become, it's an offense to say that, you know, Bhagwan got covered by his own energy and therefore Bhagwan fell into illusion. And all of us are basically Bhagwans who have fallen into illusion because of our own energy. This particular philosophy is known as Mayavad. And it is not, Brahmavad is something different. Brahmavad means one accepts that there is the Supreme Lord, he has his abode and he is spiritual in nature, but still I am attracted only to his impersonal feature, so I want to merge into that impersonal feature. That is Brahmavad. Mayavad doesn't accept any spiritual qualities in the Supreme Lord. Mayavad says all forms are transformations of Maya, including Ram, Krishna, etc. So therefore, they are known as apradis or offenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna. And that is the reason why Prabhupada criticizes, not only Prabhupada, even previous acharyas criticized Mayavadis. But Brahmavadis are never criticized because for them there is a chance.
I have another kind of an additional question. So are we to understand that Sankaracharya himself was a Brahmavadi, and that people, or others who read his writings and are proponing their own understandings from that, use that in the Mayavad fashion? In other words, use his some of his things, his God, I can't even think quite. Use his
his teachings.
Yeah, his teachings. Thank you, Prabhu. Using his teachings.
So the answer is that Adi Shankaracharya himself has propounded Mayavad in his philosophy, and his followers have simply elaborated upon what he has spoken in his particular commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, Charirak Bhashya.
Right.
That Charirak Bhashya, he has very clearly, spoken this philosophy of Mayavad. And because he has spoken this philosophy of Mayavad in Charirak Bhashya, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhama Bhattacharya started explaining Charirak Bhashya to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this Bhashya has completely covered the original meanings of the sutras. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually found fault with the Bhashya or the commentary of Adi Shankaracharya when he was speaking with Sri Sarvabhama Bhattacharya. So it is to be understood that if it was Brahmavad, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would still have said, all right, it is still acceptable. But this is actually Mayavad. Okay. Mayavad is not acceptable by anybody who understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Satchidananda Vigraha, completely spiritual in his entire existence. There is no tinge of materialism present within him.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Oh my goodness.
That's
a jam-packed class. Definitely going to have to listen to it again. There's so many things, actually, that I need to ask you. I don't know where to start. Okay, one thing is still with this following up on Sanashi Maharaj's question. This Brahmavad versus the Mayavad, right? You said that the Brahmavadis, they acknowledge the Supreme Lord. But
right.
It's just that they don't have, I guess, interest in serving him. They just want to feel somehow one with him.
Oneness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, there's two things about this oneness. One is, because my understanding is that there, among the Brahma bodies, there are gradations of levels of Brahma bodies, you know, like there may be Brahma bodies who, I don't know if there are some who understand that there, that the Absolute Truth has a form, but they're, maybe they're not interested in that form, or there are Brahma bodies who have not come to that level of realization that the Absolute Truth has a form. So that's one question, is aren't there gradations of Brahmavadis? And also the other question about Brahmavadis is, you know, those who want to become one with the Absolute Truth, what does that really mean if that in a way that's distinct from Mayavad conception? What is their sense of oneness that is distinct from the Mayavad conception of oneness?
Okay. Mataji, can I please know your name?
Gaurangi Prabhu.
No. Okay. So, thank you so much for this question. You first said that are there gradations in the level of Brahmavadis?
Yes.
So, definitely there are various gradations in the levels of the Brahmavadis. One of the classic examples of Brahmavadis are in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the four Kumaras before they entered into Vaikuntha and they got the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet, Tulsi. Before that, they were firmly Brahmavadis. But the first time they entered into Vaikuntha and they smelled the aroma of the Tulsi coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, immediately some feelings of affection towards the Lord developed within their hearts. So immediately there was a progression from Shantaras to Dasyaras. If I can say this thing, that the Brahmavadi is primarily fixed in Shantaras. And for this reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in our Sampradaya, we don't give Shantaras. We absolutely give only four rasas, beginning with Dasyaras. We do not give Shantaras. So
those in Shantaras, are they aware of form? The Supreme Lord's form? Do they have that awareness?
Yes. They may be aware of the forms. For example, all the trees in Vaikuntha, they are all aware that Vaikuntha exists. But it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will speak the exact verse to you. There is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, Shantera Swabhava Krishne Mamata Gandha Hina Param Brahma Paramatma Jnana Praveena. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.8. It's 19.218. Shantera Swabhava Krishne Mamata Gandha Hina. It is the nature of Shantaras. What is the nature? Krishne Mamata Gandha Hina. There is not even the slightest trace of fragrance of I and mine towards Lord Krishna. So this feeling that I am belonging to Krishna and Krishna belongs to me, even a slight trace of this feeling is completely absent in Shantaras. So what is present in Shantaras, next line says, Param Brahma Paramatma Jnana Praveena. This knowledge of Param Brahma, Supreme Brahman, Paramatma, the localized super soul within the heart, this knowledge is superior and this knowledge predominates the heart of the Brahmavadi impersonalist. For this reason, in our sampradaya, we don't give shantara. It is in the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said chari bhava bhakti diya. Chari bhava bhakti means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave bhakti only in four bhavas, which is dasya, sakhya, vatsalya and madhurya. But there are various categorizations of these various levels of these brahmavadis also. Some brahmavadis have not yet realized this, you know, this oneness that they want to achieve. They have not yet realized. So they are still sadhakas. And those who have realized, they become jivan muktas. Jivan muktas means they are not yet given up their body. They are still waiting to just give up their body. After they give up their body, they, you know, they may attain oneness with the Lord. Or some of them may become trees. Or, you know, some of them may become inanimate stones in the spiritual world. So all these brahmavadis, they realize that there is form. But at the same time, they don't want, you know, any relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are very happy with their knowledge. And they take great pleasure in the strong intoxication of knowledge. Mayavadi, on the other hand, considers all forms to be imaginary. For Mayavadi, there is no such thing as form. Mayavadi thinks that form equal to illusion. Form means Maya. And even if the, you know, Supreme Lord, you call him Ram or Krishna or something like that, ultimately they are all dolls made out of Maya. Some are more knowledgeable, some are less knowledgeable. The only difference between you and Krishna is that you are covered to Maya to a greater extent, and Krishna was not so much covered by Maya. That is the Mayavadi philosophy. But ultimately, both are coverings of Maya. Any form ultimately is a covering of Maya. And the highest realization is that there is no form whatsoever, only Brahman exists. Nothing, no other form exists. This is the difference.
Okay, but honestly, there are some Brahmavadis who, you know, they don't envy the Lord in the sense that, you know, they don't, it's not that they want to deny his form, they just don't have that realization yet. They haven't attained that level of realization. They're like, yeah, Brahmavadis, you know, you can realize Krishna in three aspects, right? Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So aren't there Brahmavadis who have just only attained the Brahman realization, and for that reason only, you know, they're Brahmavadis, not that they want to deny his form, they just haven't realized that he has one yet. Is that so?
Yeah, definitely there may be Brahmavadis or Mayavadis who are innocent. But they're dedicated followers who have studied the philosophy in and out. They definitely know these things, they know what is the Vaishnava position, but at the same time, they don't want to acknowledge that the Supreme Lord has spiritual qualities.
Yeah. And there was one thing that you said that I didn't catch very well when you were describing the Brahmavadi. Did you say something like, you know, they only realize super soul in the heart? Did you say something like that?
They are Param Brahma Paramatma Gyan Praveen. What is prominent in their heart is not love of God. What is prominent in their heart is this knowledge of the super soul, the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman feature. So the first two types of realization, Brahman realization and Paramatma realization, is prominent in their heart. But this realization of Bhagavan is extremely secondary in their heart.
Okay, and the four Kumaras, the category that they fall into, did they see Paramatma in their heart, or just Brahman conception only?
No, within their heart, they were always seeing the Paramatma, and everywhere around them, they were seeing the impersonal, they were experiencing the impersonal Brahman. But that everything changed when they came in personal contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaikuntha. When that happened, at that particular point of time, it is described that, you know, that feeling of dasya was developed, and for this reason the four Kumaras, the they suddenly started experiencing feelings of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you were saying, you know, Shukadeva Goswami, he was also in the beginning only, I think, Brahman realized that he was also a Brahmavadi, right? Before.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, one thing I found curious about him is that, you know, I've heard this story, I'm sure you're familiar with it too, about when he, in the form of a parrot, was hearing Lord Shiva tell his wife, or narrate the story of Bhagavatam to his wife, you know? And he heard the story, and anyway, as a parrot, then he ended up being swallowed by Vyasadeva's wife or something, and that's how he ended up in the womb of Vyasadeva's wife.
Yeah.
And so I find it interesting that he heard the Bhagavatam, yet he was nevertheless born as an impersonalist. How is that possible?
Exactly. So this question was asked to my Guru Maharaj about this particular pastime. And my Guru Maharaj said that this particular pastime is not in any of the Puranas. This particular pastime occurs in Ekamra Purana. Ekamra Purana is like a local storybook in Orissa. And then is this Ekamra Purana, this pastime of Lord Shiva running behind Shukadeva Goswami with a trident has been described. So my Guru Maharaj clearly said that since Ekamra Purana is one of the Sthala Puranas, or it's a local storybook, therefore it's the pastimes, you know, given there are not to be considered on the same level as those which are given in the Puranas written by Vyasadeva. So it may be some poet's realization, but we cannot use those poet's realizations as a Siddhanta.
Okay. Yeah, I know I talk a long time, but I just have really one last question. I think it's quick, because it's just actually to ask you to repeat something. When you were discussing the stages of prema, you know, before you came to Sneha, you know, directly before Sneha, there was two things. I think one was prema itself, right? What were the two before Sneha?
The Bhakti Vinod Thakur says Rati and then Prema, then Sneha. So Rati is like the initial attraction stage of Prema.
This is synonymous with Sneha, right? Rati and Prema, aren't they synonymous? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they are synonymous with, you know, they are not synonymous with Raga. Raga is a later stage. Rati and Prema, these are the first, you know, two beginning. Rati is the initial stage of Prema. And Prema is the, you can say the first fully developed stage of Prema. And then start the deeper variations of Prema, such as Sneha, Man, Pranay, Rag, Anurag, etc.
Yeah, okay. So when you were discussing Prema, the one that directly precedes Sneha, I thought I heard you say that, I thought you made a connection between prema and that sense of possessiveness. But then this possessiveness, you said, was a quality of a later stage. So I just want clarification about that. I think Sneha,
in
right?
In Sneha, I said that there is Dhrita Sneha and Madhu Sneha. And these two variations I had explained about Ghrita Sneha and Madhu Sneha. In Ghrita Sneha, the feeling is that I am yours. This is Ghrita Sneha, and Madhu Sneha, you are mine. This is the feeling.
Right. But when you were discussing prema, I thought you mentioned something about that was a quality of prema also, that there's this feeling of possessiveness, like imprinted on the soft substance of prema.
In prema, in general variation of prema, this feeling that of eye and mind towards Krishna starts developing. But in Sneha, it becomes more aggressive. And becomes more specific.
And then in Mahabhav, and thank you so much, Kirtida and Mataji, for asking that question. In Mahabhav, there were the ecstatic symptoms where there's all eight present in Radharani alone. And there were two levels of, you know, one where there's less than eight being expressed by the gopis, and then I think only Radharani can express all eight. But on that level, you further divided it into two, right?
Right.
And so I think one was where it's in the mood of separation. Is that so? I'm trying to get the two levels on which that Mahabhav is experienced. Where all eight are experienced, but on two different levels. Oh, I think my time is up.
I think Prabhuji is again disconnected.
It's okay, because I know we're way over time now.
Okay, anyways, I think so. It's
12:33. Yeah, I know. It's too rough. I'll listen to the class again.
Mahabhava says that Prabhu was describing is Madana and Modana. One is in the and one is in sensation. That's what he was explaining.
Right. That's what I was thinking. But I just needed confirmation. So thank you for confirming that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, Lavanya Mataji, are you still there on call? Hare Krishna Mataji? Mataji, I think that Prabhu again got disconnected, but this is the last time. Can you just connect
Mataji,
we can just end the call.
Okay, sure.
Hare Krishna.
Sorry, Prabhu, the call was again disconnected.
No, actually, I could hear all of your voices, but my voice was not reaching it.
Oh, okay. Okay, Prabhu. So,
thank you so much. And
I don't take much of your time because it's already 12:35 EST here in America. And but you know, we really seek your association more often. Please do come over to clarify all these basic doubts that we have been carrying for long, you know, through shastras definitely. So Prabhu, please give your association more often.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Dada. If Prabhu has a contact, email contact or something, if we have questions, if he doesn't mind sharing, I would appreciate that. But, you know, you can do that offline. If you give this to the mothers, you can talk to him, and if Prabhu is okay with that, can you share his email?
Hari Pasha, Prabhu, is it okay if I share your email ID with one of Mataji?
Sure, sure, definitely.
Thank you.
Okay, Panishri Mataji, I'll send you the email.
Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you all so much for joining. Thank you everybody for your association. Now, with due respect and time, we'll just end up the call. I'm really grateful to Hari Parshad Prabhu for your wonderful class, wonderful association. And with that note, Vanchakal Patarupascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhaiyavacha, Patita Nam Pavanekyo, Vaishnavi.